Later this week, None Such Records will release Tell My Sister, a 3CD package comprised of remastered versions of Kate and Anna McGarrigle's self-titled debut album, along with its follow-up Dancer with Bruised Knees and a collection of previously released songs. And Kate McGarrigle, who passed away last year, will be remembered by her family and friends with a two-night tribute concert at Town Hall on May 13th and 14th. Among those performing will be Rufus and Martha Wainwright, Kate's son and daughter, and they have joined us now to talk and perform a bit. Welcome, Rufus and Hi. Martha Wainwright.
Hi.
Was there just too much to fit into one tribute concert for your mother?
Yes. I mean, my mother, for having lived a relatively short life, she died at 63, just wrote so many fantastic songs, and as well as us performing, we have, you know, Emmylou Harris will be performing, and Jimmy Fallon, and Anthony from Anthony and the Johnsons, and Justin Vaughn, a bunch of people, Norah Jones as well will be singing. So there's a lot of singers and songs.
All people who influenced or who just appreciated what the sisters did.
Absolutely, and also who knew Kate. And knew Kate well, and especially Emmylou Harris, you know, who's worked with Kate and Anna, and so everyone up on that stage was touched by not only her music but by her. So it ends up being kind of an intense evening of, you know, celebration, but also, you know, everyone up there really has an understanding of who she was as an artist and as a person.
Had your mother been sick for a long time?
She was sick for about 3 years, but by the time they discovered the cancer, it had probably been there for quite a while, and it had already spread to the lymph nodes and was in the liver already. So, you know, she I think knew probably more than any of us. I think a lot of us were really hopeful, and she was really hopeful on the outside, but I do believe that she kind of probably understood how short her time was going to be and lived accordingly.
So she was able to continue performing.
Yeah, no, we did a bunch of shows. We did three fabulous Christmas shows, two at Carnegie Hall and her last performance, which was at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And Martha was married and in the meantime, and we had an incredible wedding for Martha, and also my opera Prima Donna was premiered in London, in Manchester.
And she traveled extensively with us.
Yeah, no, it was a good,
you know,
it was a good last hurrah.
Yeah, absolutely. Rufus took her to many fabulous places, and she played on my Edith Piaf record. I mean, she was kind of a stoic and had a really high threshold for pain, as it turns out.
Well, in an odd way, this brings a family back together, sadly, but brings a family closer. Kate and her sister Anna began as songwriters, didn't they? Their songs have been recorded by a variety of artists. Did they start out with the intention of writing songs for others, or did they always want to sing them themselves?
They never really drew a line per se between being a person and a performer. I mean, that, you know, whether it was them out there singing them or other people singing them, the songs were always deeply connected to their own lives and personalities. And that was what made them so fascinating. What makes Anna still, of course, but is that you know, when you saw them on stage doing their thing, it was who they really were, and I think that's always come across in their music.
I would also just definitely say that because other people did sing their songs, like Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt, it also allowed them to be at home and to be mothers, and that's, I know,
and that
kind
was
of
very important,
it's very important, because it's something that I think a lot of, you know, females, you know, artists have to kind of, you know, struggle with if they're really workaholic and they really go on tour a lot. You know, that's something, there can be a guilt there, but they were able to you know, bother my brother and I thoroughly, and we couldn't get away with anything. So yeah.
Well, did you, when you realized that you also wanted to perform, did this mean, and your father was also a performer, did this mean that there was some kind of a family group that...
That didn't sing together.
Well, that sang together at home, but...
No, I mean, we sang with our mom. But our mom and our dad were very separate entities, you know, musically. So we had a couple of bands to join.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to sing one of the McGarrigle Sisters' songs, Come a Long Way Now?
No, we're going to start with
a Kate song. This is a song that's a completely unknown song. It's never been recorded. And Kate wrote it for a musical that was never produced.
You say Kate, Anna, and Jane.
Anna, and Jane, their sister Jane McGarrigle, yeah. But, you know, although it was written for a musical, I think it really was written about, I think of Kate when I sing it. And
this is a first here. We've never done this.
I should have known better. They warned me from the start. The gentleman who climbed the ladder, heed the rules and not the heart. They're blinded by the promise that if they play the game, their star will rise. They never look to see what shines right before their very eyes. Setting that's wrong, an unspoiled gem that's brilliant and strong, and I will find a way to take what is mine, 'cause I am a
Martha and Rufus Wainwright singing Like a Diamond. And you said that's the first time it's been performed publicly? Really?
Yeah, the two of us.
The two of us singing it together.
Because it is such a gorgeous song.
Yeah.
I sing it a lot. I've been singing it in my shows since my mom passed away. I can't resist it. But when we got here this morning, we thought it would be a good song and better for the two of us to do it than just one of us.
And also, speaking of Kate's illness, I did want to just mention that she died from a very, very rare form of cancer called sarcoma. And a large portion of the proceeds from this tribute show we're doing will go to the Sarcoma Foundation of America and the Kate McGarrigle Fund.
And I misspoke earlier. It's the 12th and the 13th, not the 13th and
the 14th. Yeah, the 12th and the 13th.
We don't want people
May.
Showing up on the 14th.
Yeah, and there are a lot of benefit tickets available. In fact, my boyfriend and I, Jorn Weisbrot, we bought two high price tickets. Obviously, we're going to be backstage, but I'm donating those tickets to cancer survivors from this dreaded disease. And so I ask anybody, even if you can't be at the show, to buy some tickets, and you can also donate them to cancer survivors.
Is this
well.
Form of cancer something that is hereditary? Or
Well, there's very, very little.
Know?
What's interesting?
Well, I mean, genetic, that doesn't mean it
what's
gets interesting passed on
about
to everybody.
It, well, what's interesting about it is that it is considered an orphan cancer. And what that means is that unlike breast cancer or colon cancer, stuff that's really, really much more common and receives a lot more funding. Once you hit certain of these cancers where not necessarily massive amounts of people get it, the funding just drops like a cliff and there's no research. So it's important to support orphan cancers.
My guests are Rufus and Martha Wainwright. We're talking about two things, the 3-CD package that Nonesuch is releasing, comprised of remastered versions of Kate and Anna McGarrigle's self-titled debut album, along with the follow-up Dancer with Bruised Knees, and then a collection of previously released songs.
Previously unreleased, I think.
It's unreleased. Yeah. It's even I imagine there's a lot of stuff still
a lot of demos.
in drawers and all of that thing.
Yeah, if songs I hope
are
so.
That
I'm
quality.
Counting on them. Because I take a long time to write songs, so I'm the one thing that I've, now at least I own half of my mother's catalog, so I plan on singing a lot of these songs because they're so amazing and so fabulous and really gems of someone's inner brilliant world.
And there'll also be two tribute concerts at Town Hall on May 12th and 13th. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, you recorded Edith Piaf's songs. Do you see some kind of a similarity?
Well, I hope to. I like to draw lines between me and Edith Piaf and Kate McGarrigle, and it's a selfish thing to do, and that's why I sing their songs. I think Edith's life was much more tragic than mine, but we both certainly sang as children, with our mine with my real family, hers with her hooker family. So
regret nothing, I assume.
No,
no, of course not. I can't remember much of what I might regret.
Or as Barbara Walters says, I regret everything.
So you're going to now sing a song of your own?
We're going to do another Kate.
I've been so misinformed.
Yeah, I know.
So sorry. But this is what? I've Come a Long Way?
It's called Come a Long Way. This is a Kate McGarrigle song. This is an early song that she wrote about a woman, a friend of hers named Roma
Baron
who was in the early years of her life as a songwriter in the West Village here in New York City.
Long way since we last shook hands, still got a long way to go. Couldn't see the flowers when we last shook hands, couldn't see the flowers on account of the snow. What did you do with your burden and your cross? Did you carry it yourself or did you crack? You and I know that a burden and a cross can only be carried on one man's back. All my life I've wanted to roam, to go to the ends of the earth, but the earth really ends where you started to roam. You and I know what a circle is worth. to what went down. There's not much left to reveal. I think I changed my mind after what went down as to who in the end got the better deal.
Give me your hand for the parting touch.
Come a Long Way, sung by Rufus and Martha Wainwright. We are talking about two tribute concerts that they will be participating in on May 12th and 13th at Town Hall with an all-star lineup.
Yes.
You sing so beautifully together. Were you? Did you sing together when you were kids?
Yes.
We did, yeah. I know we were shackled
together
next to the fireplace.
Well, I've always wondered about people in the same family because voice quality is often similar, and that does that make it easier to find the harmonies? And to
I think what's interesting about our family in general is that whether you look at Kate or you look at Loudon or the two of us, our voices are actually all very, very different. And we've managed somehow, miraculously to sort of carve out our own little niches. And then when we do sing together, you know, those separate entities complement each other very well.
Well, your niches are quite different. I mean, we were just talking about Martha doing an Edith Piaf album.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in Montreal.
Yeah.
So I guess you speak French.
I spoke French, and I speak French, and also, you know, I guess when I was a kid, when I was seven or so, she was my favorite singer. I just assumed, you know, Edith Piaf was every seven-year-old's favorite singer. I've since learned that that's not the case, and no one has bought the album. But, you know, no, we had a very beautiful kind of European-type upbringing and
in Montreal.
Yeah.
And then you, Rufus, over the last few years, you've written an opera, as you mentioned,
yes.
Performed
in
a concert
French.
Of Judy Garland's material,
yes.
the American version of Edith Piaf,
yes.
Released your sixth studio album.
Yes.
You sound like a workaholic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm also actually releasing a box set soon of the House of Rufus, and it's 19 discs of past stuff as well. So yeah, no, we work a lot, and we have to. You know, it's a tough business.
But were you exposed to that kind of wide range of music when you were growing
yes,
up?
Yes, we were. I mean, we had a lot of opera around the house. We had a lot of folk music, a lot of Dylan, a lot of rock and roll. So yeah, no, it was a very eclectic.
Kate had a record collection, which apparently is half of the record collection that she had with Loudon, and Loudon got A to M, and she got M to W. Apparently, and
that's how they divided.
Yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And
we're lucky there are 26 letters in the alphabet. Yeah. Otherwise, it might have been a fight.
Right.
So oh, there were fights.
No, yeah, there were, yeah. Another fight. Yeah, but I mean, I also, you know, just to say that, you know, I think Rufus, being a little bit older, probably went through those albums and filtered out a lot of the stuff he didn't like. And then I ended up listening to what he did like. And he, you know, was really instrumental in you know, creating my musical taste and introducing me to things.
Well, was there ever any doubt that the two of you would go into the business? Because
when my report card came home with the notes that I'd received, yes, and no, it was pretty obvious from early on.
Because it was the family business, because that's what everybody talked
about. Yeah, I think
you went on tours with your mother.
Right. You know, and I think like that
father?
Happens kind of and father, yes, absolutely, and you know, I guess it happens kind of quite often when you know. Parents or lawyers, their children end up being, you know, there is a certain element. I mean, I think for Rufus, definitely, you know, he was really, really obviously talented singer and then piano player very early on and also very wanting to hit the stage, you know. And so We were all groomed.
And we also had an incredible grandmother who, you know, insisted on floor shows in a very Victorian manner all growing up, because she had never had the chance to, you know, fulfill her artistic dreams, you know, because she was one of 17 children. So there's a lot of, there's an engine in there.
How old were you when you came out gay?
Zero.
I mean, have
you
been
out of the closet?
As many people said, I don't think Rufus was ever in the closet. but I was pretty aware of it when I was young, when I was about 13, 14, and it coincided with puberty, and also with the advent of, you know, the real sort of advent of HIV and AIDS. Like, it was 1985, 86, so it was a pretty intense time for that. And then I got into opera.
Mm-hmm. Thank so God.
Yeah. Thank
God. Not dance music. Yeah.
Because if you had gotten into dance music or something else, you would have been in a very different, more destructive scene.
I went to the destructive scene.
I know you had to overcome all sorts of problems.
But I think opera sort of spoke a lot to just the really dramatic situation that anybody from my generation was in, where, you know, you're 14 and being gay means that you're going to die. So it was I could relate to those feelings.
Was it different growing up in Canada?
Very different. Yes. Oh, very different. We're very different because you live in both.
We live in both, but you countries. Know, my mother had, you know, she had, when the market was low, she had bought an old Victorian house in a nice neighborhood. It was like a rambling home. It was very idealistic, you know. Montreal's kind of a cafe site. It's safe. You could play on the street. There was parks. It was, you know, very, you know, we had a big, nice house.
French.
It was very, and people were speaking French. It was kind of
croissant in the morning.
It was certainly less competitive than New York, and less aggressive, yeah. And less hard. It was a softer place to grow up, and where I think it gave us a lot of time to, you know, harness and also
we were the biggest stars on the block.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing.
I remember one time
we were at the
grocery store once, and I said, "Oh my God, that's Mitsumi Takahashi. She's on the news." And then my mother turned to me and went, "You know, I'm way more famous than she is."
Well,
you can see what we got.
So we're almost out of time here, and I just wanted to spend a little more time on these two projects.
Yes.
Did you put them together, the CDs?
Joe Boyd produced their first two records, and who's, you know, a folk icon himself, and follows us around wherever we go, and which is we're happy
Keeps
about.
Us in line.
And so yes, this was and also their records are out of print, and so this was a great opportunity to finally do this, because it's really important.
There is another project too, which is we're filming the shows, and we're going to make a film, and it's made by the great Leanne Lunson, who did I'm Your Man. By the film about Leonard Cohen, so we're making a movie about Kate's life as well. So there are many projects.
A listener has written in that from don't say uh oh they love you. This person writes from this first song that I hear, I recognize echoes of the legendary French Canadian author composer Félix Leclerc.
Mm. Ah yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Can you ask the Wainwrights if they think their mom was influenced by him?
I don't know.
I think she loved his voice.
Yes,
she loved his voice. I think definitely one can say that in Quebec and with the French influence and the sort of dramatic, I don't know, weather up there or something.
Yeah.
There's a real focus on the voice and you know, Celine Dion, whatever. It's this. The you got to sing to keep warm or something.
Although so many of the people who played a major role in American country music came out of Canada. I always wondered how that happened.
Yeah.
You people escaped that.
Oh, well, we got, there's a little bit of country.
Now, there's a little country.
And a little bit of rock and roll.
Oh, no, those are
another couple. Another brother and sister.
I have
that disease. You know, it's only knowing how to play three chords on the guitar.
You should hear me sing Old Paint. My dad.
So that's how Hank Snow came to become so important. He knew three chords.
Yes, there you go. We had that record. Snow, remember. We had to.
We're saving the three best chords for last.
Well, I understand there are all sorts of VIP packages available. And you're giving away little goodie bags as well?
Yes.
There's a fabulous goodie bag with, you know, perfume and posters and CDs.
And this beautiful.
And there's a party.
There's an after party on the 13th for those who have the VIP tickets. And then the gift bag, there's also this beautiful soap and this soap dish with a design on it of the thing called, a thing called the Ski Girl, which was the last drawing that my mother ever made of a little girl on her way, on her skis, on her cross-country skis, heading out into
the wild unknown.
The wild unknown. And it's really kind of, it's really her, and it's very touching.
And to remind people just how wonderful the McGarrigles were.
So you can break down crying every time you wash your face.
We're going to go out with the walking song.
Oh, good.
From the new, re-release of the old album.
I just want to say, because my husband's going to kill me otherwise, his name is Brad and he loves you.
Oh. And you love him.
And I love you too.
Oh, good. Thank you.